Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And we also have with us today our good friend, Corey Anderson. Corey has been dialoguing with Latter-day Saints for several years. He's been studying Mormonism for about 20 years. And I think he has a very good grasp of what Mormonism's all about. And so we've been going through this book that came out in 2017 titled Changed Through His Grace by Brad Wilcox. And Brad Wilcox, as I mentioned earlier, is a very popular LDS speaker. He speaks on the subject of grace, and I think in some cases he probably even fools some Christians into thinking that the Mormon version of grace is not any different than what Christians have believed for years. But as we look closely at what he says in this book, we start to see that not only is he very confusing, but even at times he denies what Mormon leaders have said on this very important subject. I mentioned yesterday that we're going to look into a phrase that is used by some Mormons, and that is about grace never being alone. But before we get to it, Corey, I want you to read where he talks about how some Mormons don't often feel very safe or confident when it comes to God.
Yeah, he says, instead of feeling safe, yeah, and confident in God's care, we never quite feel good enough. We awake early to go to bed late, read, pray, serve in callings, and still feel that we are falling short. We become so focused on checking items off our to-do lists that we forget why God gave us those lists in the first place.
Now, let me stop you there, because when he talks about this idea of instead of feeling safe and confident in God's care, we never quite feel good enough. How many times does that seem to come up, not only in personal conversations that we've had with Mormons, but we see it in Mormon books? You had mentioned earlier, I think on our first show, you had mentioned Stephen Robinson talking about his wife, Janet, and the struggle that she went through not thinking she was good enough. And then Robert Millett gives an example of one of his books. And then not long ago, we did several radio shows on an article in the Ensign magazine where a Mormon therapist was talking about a woman who came to talk to her who felt that same inadequacy. It only makes me go back to page 4 in the book that if everything about Mormonism is all about grace, why are they not understanding this? And yet, here it is, he's admitting that some Latter-day Saints feel this very feeling of inadequacy in their walk in Mormonism. Then he goes on to talk about his BYU colleague, Robert Millett.
Author Robert L. Millett calls both of these extremes theological traps or the perils of grace. He reminds us that in reality, faith and works are not at odds with each other. Quote, faith always manifests itself in faithfulness. Salvation may come by grace alone, but grace is never alone, end quote.
Did you notice, Corey, he attributes that quotation to Robert Millett. And I've heard Robert Millett say this. I've heard him personally say this when I've heard him speak. But it wasn't Robert Millett that came up with that expression. In fact, you can find in our Christian history that both John Calvin and Martin Luther used similar expressions. And I want to talk about that because if Robert Millett is going to use this expression that grace is never alone, as if, as you said, there's this synergism between what we do and what Christ has provided through his grace, is that what Martin Luther was teaching? And that's not the case. And that's what bothers me, because neither Calvin nor Luther were talking about a synergistic understanding of justification. Luther taught this similar principle, and it was long before Mormonism ever came on the scene. But if you look at what both Calvin and Luther said about this, you see that they would not draw the same conclusions that Wilcox or Millet would draw. For instance, in 1547, Calvin responded to false notions espoused in the Council of Trent, and that began in 1545. It was a Catholic council. It lasted several years. But he responded to it by saying, "I wish the reader to understand that as often as we mention faith alone in this question, we are not thinking of a dead faith which worketh not by love, but holding faith to be the only cause of justification. It is therefore faith alone which justifies, and yet the faith which justifies is not alone." See, you can see where Millet could have gotten that from John Calvin.
Are we sure that Calvin didn't get that from Millet? Well, obviously not, because one was written much earlier. And so I think it's frustrating for us, as I think you're showing frustration, that Millet is getting credit for something that Christians do believe, that faith and works will come together.
But yet it was Wilcox who labeled us as being extreme because we believe it's monergistic. It's all about God and his grace. Well, let me go on. Luther agreed with Calvin in his commentary on Galatians. And when speaking of Galatians 5:5, Luther said this: "We are justified not by works, sacrifices, or ceremonies, but by Christ alone." And then commenting on verse 6, Luther said, "Works avail nothing but faith alone, and that without any merit whatever avails before God. On the other hand, the apostle declares that without fruits, faith serves no purpose." In his 1536 disputation concerning justification, Luther wrote, "For Paul expressly contrasts faith and works, for he takes justification in God's sight away from works and attributes it to faith." Luther explained Paul's meaning in Ephesians 2:10 when he said, "A Christian being consecrated by his faith does good works, but he is not by these works made a holier person or more of a Christian. That is the effect of faith alone. No, unless we were previously a believer and a Christian, none of his works would have any value at all. They would really be impious and damnable sins." Does it sound to you, by what Luther's saying, that he's saying that works are not an important part of the Christian's life? No, he's not. He's merely saying, as Calvin was also saying, that our work has nothing to do with making us justified. We don't get any more justified by doing works, but certainly works should be a part of the Christian walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting, too. I mean, we have to put Luther in the backdrop, historical backdrop, right? I mean, what's he writing against? He's writing against a religious group, the Catholics of his day, that clearly were teaching a synergistic view of salvation. I mean, their view of grace, their view of justification, all flew in the face of what Luther was saying. I mean, in certain respects, the LDS Church is holding somewhat of a similar view in terms of it being synergistic. So, clearly, he's not saying what somebody would like him to say. He's saying clearly that he's opposed to any kind of adding of works for the purpose of gaining justification. It's so clear historically.
On page 16 of his book, Wilcox says, "Well, maybe Latter-day Saints need to trust Christ's grace a little more. When the Lord said, 'My grace is sufficient,' he meant it." My question is, well, Wilcox, what did he mean? Because when I read this book, I don't see that definition that Wilcox is giving us being what the Lord meant when he said, "My grace is sufficient." Am I making sense on that? Because it doesn't seem that what he is saying in his book is exactly what Christ meant about grace. And it doesn't seem to meet the expectations that Paul had in his epistles. If there's a difference, who is a Latter-day Saint going to believe? A BYU professor? The New Testament? Or are they expected to believe the leadership in their church? Because I don't see a connection sometimes with all three of these. I see there's a contradiction many times between these three. And this goes back to what we were saying earlier of how confusing this can be when a Latter-day Saint reads this book wanting to have a, I guess what they would think is a proper understanding of grace. But how can they get a proper understanding when it seems to be so confusing?
I wonder, kind of keeping that all together for a moment, you know, just to go back again to the quote that, you know, supposedly, you know, was originated with Millet. You know, because, I mean, the quote is, salvation may come by grace alone. And I think when a Christian, if they were to read this book, an evangelical Christian would pick this book up and read it, they would probably say, my goodness, this sounds so Christian. This sounds like what we believe, salvation by grace alone. You know, and of course he's got the follow-up phrase, but grace is never alone. But I guess what I'd want to sort of probe into a little bit with Millet even on this, or with Wilcox, is what do you mean salvation is by grace alone? What salvation are we even talking about here? Because are we talking about salvation in the resurrection sense in LDS teaching, where everybody gets resurrected? In that sense, it's alone. There's people who don't even have faith who will be resurrected. Are we talking about salvation in the celestial kingdom sense? Because there it's clearly not alone.
I think you make an excellent point, because Mormon leaders have been very clear on this issue, that there's two aspects or two understandings of the word salvation. There is a general salvation, which is resurrection from the dead. It doesn't matter what you believed. It doesn't matter what you did during this lifetime. Everyone's going to be resurrected. And even though Mormon leaders have erroneously attributed salvation by grace as being the resurrection, we would certainly disagree, because of the fact that Jesus said there's also this resurrection unto damnation. And certainly nobody would say that a resurrection to damnation is the same as being saved by grace. That makes no sense whatsoever. But you're right. Unless you understand these two very distinct definitions of the word salvation, it can be very confusing. And how many Christians understand that that's where Mormon theology is coming from? This false definition that somehow there's a general salvation, which is resurrection from the dead, and then there's this personal or individual salvation, which is celestial exaltation. Mormon leaders have not hidden the fact that exaltation is something that must be earned. It is something that must be worked for. And this is why we would say we don't agree with that. That is certainly not what we see in the New Testament. So we have to understand what definition is Wilcox working with here. And if you have a Christian who doesn't understand that, a lot of this book is going to sound very appealing to them, which is sad, because certainly we're not on the same page.
And that's the most dangerous thing, is to not understand what the Mormon is really meaning, perhaps, by hiding behind the terminology. That's why we have to define our terms.
Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking at this book, Changed Through His Grace, by BYU professor Brad Wilcox.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.